if he's been good to you, would you give him a hand clap of praise tonight? Come on, if he's been good to you, would you give him a hand clap of praise tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. God is so good, and he is so faithful. Amen. He's more faithful than any other thing you have in your life tonight. Amen. You may have the best spouse in the world, but God is more faithful than that spouse is. We love him tonight. We appreciate his goodness and his mercy. We're excited that you're here with us tonight. If you got your Bibles, if you could meet me in the book of Psalm. Book of Psalm 139. And we'll be reading verse 23 through 24. You got my... That's from Sunday's. We're in the book of Psalms tonight there, media man. Brother Ken just can't let go of Sunday service. The Lord really touched him. He's just holding on to it, Brother Eddie. He's holding on to it. Well, brother, we're believing God for greater things tonight, okay? So we need you to get the book of Psalm 139 up there. You got my. She sent you the. Okay. Huh? Psalms 139, 20, verses 23 and 24. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. If you got your Bibles, you can turn there with us. If you don't have your Bibles, eventually, Brother Ken will have that on the screen for you. We're going to continue our subject tonight. This month, our theme is about prayer. We're actually on a series called Dangerous Prayers, and this month we're going to really dive deep into prayer. Sunday we kicked that off with making sure we're not shackled by trying to say safe, trepid prayers, amen, but believing God for great things. And tonight we're going to continue on this subject. And the book of Psalm 139, 23 and 24, shout yes if you're there. Man, if you don't have it, it's on the screens behind me. We're reading a psalm that David prayed during a very difficult time in his life. All right? This psalm is from a time where David had been anointed king of Israel. But he was in a waiting time, Sister Lizzie. He was waiting for God to remove Saul and exalt him to a place in the kingdom. And while he's waiting there, the Lord causes an evil spirit to come up on Saul, and Saul turns against David. Saul seeks to kill David. Saul uses all of his resources to try to kill David, and David finds himself on the run, and David finds himself in one of the lowest times of his life. But here, in Psalms 139, we see a prayer that David prays out to God. It's a very special prayer. And tonight we want to focus on this prayer in the book of Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. We don't have time to take the whole text, but we'll just use these two verses of Scripture. David prayed. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I want to preach to this body for a few moments tonight on the theme of prayer. But tonight we are in a series called Dangerous Prayers, and tonight I want to preach to you part one, which we are going to call David's prayer of "Search Me." Search me. Amen. All over this house, can we clap our hands unto the Lord tonight in a hand clap of appreciation and gratitude and thankfulness. Come on, to the one who woke you up this morning, to the one who puts food on your table, to the one who puts breath in your body. Give him a hand clap of praise all over this house tonight. Amen. As you're seated, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight what David prayed. Search me. Search me. Amen. We're going to get right down where you're living at tonight. Amen. Actually, this whole month, we hope to get right down where you're living at. I pray that your heart and your mind would be open to grow in the spiritual discipline of prayer this month. My prayer as the pastor of this church is that nobody in this church will be the same when it comes to their prayer life at the end of the month of May. Amen. Do you dare tonight to pray in a way that you have never prayed before? I was having a conversation today with someone on the job, and man, I'm telling you, we were standing in our warehouse talking about prayer, and the Lord began to move. Can I tell you, there's something powerful, Sister Angie, about the subject of prayer. Amen. And the next thing I know, before I knew it, the person that I was speaking with, man, they were standing there. Their eyes were filled with tears, and the Lord was ministering to them, amen, because we were talking about how we all struggle in prayer. Amen. Do you dare to pray in a way that you have never prayed before? Do you dare to pray with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind? Do you dare to really get alone with Jesus in a special place of prayer tonight? What would happen in your life? What would happen in the lives of the people that you love, the people that are close to you, if you would really, really begin to take prayer seriously? If you would really get serious about prayer, if you would really be changed, Brother Doug, every time you got up from the presence of the Lord? What would happen if prayer became exciting to you? What would happen if prayer stopped being something that you feel like you have to force yourself to do, and instead it became something that is you long to do, and it's exciting for you to do, and it is something that is fun for you to do, to be in the presence of the Almighty? Can I tell you, if you're going to be a child of God, you shouldn't be dreading having to pray. Oh, my Lord, I heard the feet going back under the seats. I heard it. If we're going to be the children of God, we got to understand today, we got to change our mindset on prayer. Because there ain't none of us that don't get tired and don't get weak and don't get discouraged, and prayer becomes, at some point in time or another in every believer's life, something that you have to absolutely push yourself to do. Amen. What would happen if we changed our mindset on prayer, if prayer became something exciting for us to do? Can I tell you, busyness is what's telling you that prayer ain't no fun. Your culture's what's telling you that it ain't exciting to come to the Lord in the spiritual discipline of prayer. Can I tell you, over the last decade of my life, I've learned that there ain't no more special place you could ever find yourself to be than alone with Jesus in a special moment of prayer tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. We got to change the way we see prayer. We got to change the way we think about prayer. Prayer must again become something, amen, like it was when we first got pulled out of our seat by that conviction that the Lord placed upon us. And when we came down to the front of the church and we fell down on our knees and we began to repent of all of our sins and we felt this huge burden lift off of our shoulders. Can I tell you, every time you come to God in prayer, you can have the same experience. You can have the same experience. It's us. It's our lives. It's our busyness. It's our culture. It's our habits. It's what we prioritize that tells us that prayer is something that we have to force ourselves to do. Amen. We should long to be alone with Jesus. Prayer needs to be something that is exciting to the child of God and not just something, amen, that you feel like you have to do in order to be close to God, although it is. You cannot be close to God and not pray. You cannot be strong. You cannot be strong in the kingdom of God if you don't ever take upon yourself the spiritual discipline of prayer. Can I get an amen tonight? In our text that we took tonight, we're reading, we see that Saul had falsely accused the patriarch David of treason. He had falsely accused. How many know the Bible says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren? And we read in our text today here that David, Brother Joe, had been anointed king of Israel. David was the future. David was the leader of Israel. God had anointed him. God was going to use David greatly. Amen. But he was being falsely accused. Anybody ever been falsely accused? Most of you, I'm sure, have been falsely accused at some point in time or another. David was falsely accused by Saul. Saul had sent his full force, amen, after David. He was trying to kill David. He had thrown spears at David, trying to pierce him to the wall. He had tried to kill David. He was on the hunt for David. David was hiding in a cave from King Saul. David was running for his life. David was at one of the lowest points of his life, Brother Ed. One of the lowest points of his life. But David was in a situation that he didn't deserve to be in this situation. How many know we don't always get what we deserve? And David didn't deserve to be chased by Saul. David was loyal to Saul. David played the harp for Saul so the evil spirit would leave Saul. David was loyal. David was faithful. Amen. But yet here David finds himself on the run, fearing for his life. And Saul and all of his soldiers are trying to kill him. David's at one of the lowest places of his existence. But David was a man, the Bible says, after God's own heart. And he fought hard against his anger towards Saul. How many know that if that was you or I in the situation that David found himself in, we're probably not going to cut the little piece off of the edge of his garment. We're probably going to take the sword and pierce it through his side. Amen. We're probably not going to be loyal to a man who's trying to kill us, a man who's chasing us, a man who's trying to destroy us. But David was fighting hard against his anger towards Saul. David knew it was important for him to honor the king. And in honoring the king, he was honoring his God. How many know that tonight? Knowing that he had some internal struggles, because none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. And even if you find yourself in the situation that you're in and you don't think you're at wrong, you don't have any wrong part in it at all, can I tell you, you still ain't perfect. And here David is, he's on the wrong end of the deal. David has done nothing wrong. David's being chased by Saul. He's fearing for his life. He's running because Saul and his army are trying to kill him. And David's trying to fight off this anger that is trying to rise up in him. And here he is. He's got his soldiers with him hiding in a cave. And they're telling him, just go ahead and kill him. Just go ahead and kill him. And David's saying, whoa, 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 whoa. No, the word of the Lord says, touch not mine anointed. This is the anointed of Israel. And I just got to wait on the Lord. I can't get in my flesh. I can't get in my feelings. Can I tell you, one of the hardest things about serving God is trying your best not to get in your feelings. Trying your best not to get in your feelings. Amen. And it's in this moment that David humbly, David vulnerably opens his mouth and begins to say one of the most powerful prayers in all of Pentecost. Here, in this moment, David, fearing for his life, David understands he's got some internal struggles himself. He's not perfect. Understanding that his heart is not perfect, David opens his mouth and he prays a very dangerous prayer. Sunday, we talked about playing it safe in prayer. We talked about being shackled by our flesh in prayer, being shackled by trying to play it safe in prayer. And here, David prays a very dangerous prayer. Here in this moment, David opens his heart to God, and he prayed one of the most vulnerable, one of the most transparent prayers that you will ever hear anybody pray. David opens his mouth, and he says, "Search me, oh God." I want you to let that sink in for just a moment tonight. David, who's not in the wrong. David, who's running from his life. David, who's fighting his anger towards the man who's trying to kill him, realizes that he is not perfect. He opens his mouth and begins to speak to the Lord, and he says, "Search me, oh God." Who does that? Who does that? What kind of criminal, Brother Timmy, walks up to a police officer knowing that they got stuff on them they shouldn't have and say, "Search me"? One who don't want to be a criminal no more. What kind of sinner will walk up to a God knowing they got sin in their life, sin in their heart, iniquity that's trying to destroy them, anger that's rising up on the inside of them, and say, "Search me, oh God"? One that don't want to be a sinner no more. That's who will do it. One that don't want to be a sinner no more. We got to get desperate enough for God today that no matter whether we're in the right, whether we're in the wrong, whether we're up in the highest moments of our life or whether we find ourselves in the lowest valley of our life, we got to be willing to open our mouth and get vulnerable to God and say, "Search me, God, and know my heart right now. I want you to know exactly who I am." I tell you who does that. Somebody that don't want to be caught up in sin no more. Somebody who's tired of being bound and chained by sin. Somebody who's ready to get vulnerable before their Creator and say, "I'm tired of being shackled. I'm tired of being held back. I'm tired of being bound. I want to be free. And the only way I'm going to be free is if He sets me free." So I'm willing to get vulnerable in His presence and say, "Search me, oh God. Search me, God. Know my heart, oh God." David opens his mouth and prays one of the most vulnerable, one of the most humble, and one of the most transparent prayers you will ever hear anybody pray. He begins to ask God to search his heart. Search him. Know his heart. He goes on, he says, "Test me. Know my thoughts, O Lord. Know my anxiousness, O Lord. See if there is any offensive way in me, any destructive way in me, any evil way in me, and lead me rather in the way everlasting." Can I tell you, that kind of prayer has the power to convict you. Man, when you really get vulnerable before God and you really say, "Lord, I want you to search me," you realize He didn't even need you to tell him to search you. He already knew everything that was in your life. But when you really get vulnerable before God like that, you are allowing God to see your motives and your intentions. You are allowing God to say, "Lord, I won't refuse you access to any part, any place, not the darkest crook or cranny in my life. I want you to know me. I want you to search me. I want you to cleanse me. And I want you to lead me in the way everlasting." God, we got to get vulnerable before the Lord. We got to stop making it safe in prayer. And we got to be willing to say, "Lord, even if it convicts me, even if it exposes me, Even if it shows some things in my life that aren't supposed to be there, I want you to know every part of me. I want you to search me. I want you to know me. I want you to lead me, oh God. This kind of prayer has the power to convict you, to correct you, to redirect you. How many know that's exactly what we need today? That's exactly what every single one of us need today. We need this kind of prayer in our life. This kind of prayer has the power to change the way you see yourself. This kind of prayer has the power to change the way people, other people see you. This kind of prayer has the power to change the way you see other people when you really become vulnerable before the Lord. David prayed, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts, Lord. Make sure that there's no evil way in me, O God." Let me tell you something. This kind of prayer has the power to change you. It's not an easy prayer to pray. Come on, how many know it's a whole lot easier to pray for somebody else than it is for yourself? And it's a whole new level when you begin to tell God, "Get up in my business, Lord. Look who I really am, God. Search my heart, God. See the inner things on the inside of me, Lord. Expose everything that is in me that is not supposed to be there." It's a whole new kind of level of prayer. David prayed one of the most powerful prayers you will ever hear anyone pray in Pentecost. It's not an easy prayer. This kind of prayer will get you out of your comfort zone. David was under attack, and David still had enough courage to say, "Search me, O God." Why would David ask to do this when he knew that Saul was the one who was in the wrong? Why would David be asking God to search him when he's the one who's running for his life? Why would David do such a thing? Because David understood that the heart is deceitful. David understood that as great as we sometimes think we are, we still need to be vulnerable before God. Our hearts are deceitful. Our hearts are so deceitful that we will deceive ourselves. I tell you, your greatest enemy is you. Your greatest enemy is your flesh. We give so much credit to the devil, but our hearts are so deceitful, amen, that we will deceive even our own selves. It's a dangerous prayer, but it's a prayer that will bring you closer to God. David, after he asked God to search him, he begins to continue in his prayer, and he goes on and he tells God, Brother Eric, he said, "Know my thoughts. Know my thoughts." How many of us can earnestly say that we're going to tell God, "I want you to see every thought that I think"? We'd all be in trouble this week. We'd all be in trouble over the past month. But David was so sincere. This is one of the reasons why the Bible called him a man after God's own heart. David was so sincere. He had such a desire to please God. He wanted God to know his every thought. And he wanted to bring it under subjection to the Lord. David continues to pray, and he begins to ask God, amen, to know his thoughts. After he tells God to search him, he said, "Know my thoughts and see if there is any wicked ways in me." David was praying unto the Lord, "Lord, uncover my sins." Can I put it in layman's terms for you tonight? When David said, "Know my thoughts, O God," he was saying, "Uncover my sins, Lord. Expose me for who I am, Lord. Let me see every little thing in my life that is wrong, that stands between me and you." Can I tell you, there's little things in your life that you don't think is hindering your walk with God. They're hindering your walk with God. They're standing between you and God. And until you find yourself in a place of vulnerability and you're willing to have the courage to say, "Lord, uncover every sin in my life. I just want to be close to you." Amen. That's a powerful prayer tonight. It's a dangerous prayer, but it will bring you closer to God. David begins to tell the Lord, uncover my sins, Lord. Who does that? A child of God that's sick and tired of being bound by sin. Who does that? Someone who's tired of not being free. Amen. We don't because we're afraid to fail, church. We don't because we want to keep what we have in the dark in the dark. But can I tell you, David set a tremendous example. That is not the way to be a child of God. That is not the way to be called a man after God's own heart. You need to ask God to expose you. You need to ask God to let you see in a mirror clearly. Let you see exactly where you stand in his presence. Let you see clearly. Are you pleasing to him or are you displeasing him? It's a dangerous prayer. It's a vulnerable prayer. But it's a prayer that will bring you closer to God. Can I tell you tonight, sometimes we let fear hold us back in prayer. We do. We let fear hold us back in prayer because we're afraid what God's going to do if we ask him. We're afraid where God's going to take us if we ask him. We're afraid God's going to ask us to give something we don't want to give. We're afraid God's going to ask us to love somebody we don't want to love. We're afraid God's going to ask us to forgive somebody that we don't want to forgive. Come on, somebody. Can I tell you, fear will hold you back in your prayer life. David was mad at Saul. Saul was trying to kill David, but he still said, Lord, search my heart. Know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked in me, Lord. I don't want to do anything that would dishonor you and dishonor the kingdom. Amen. So he begins to tell the Lord to search me, try me, know my hearts, see if there's anything, know my thoughts, see if there's anything wicked in me. Lord, uncover my sin, every ounce of sin in my life. Amen. Uncover it. We hold back on our prayer life because we're afraid. We have fear in our hearts. We don't want God to tell us to do things we don't want to do. I've had the Lord tell me to forgive, Brother Joe, people I didn't want to forgive. I've had the Lord tell me to give money to people that I didn't want to give money to. I've had the Lord tell me to go over and lay my hands on somebody that I didn't want to pray for. I've had the Lord tell me so many things. Can I tell you, fear of God telling you to do something you don't want to do will hold you back in your prayer life. It will. It'll hold you back in your prayer life. If we desire to please God, we will want God to search our heart. If we desire to please God, we will want God to know our thoughts. If we desire to please God, we will want God to uncover our sins in our life. Search me, O God. Know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. Let me tell you something, when you stop playing it safe in prayer and you have the courage like David did to ask God to uncover your sins, he's going to begin to show you some things about yourself. And that's why people don't want to reach this place in prayer. Because they don't want God to expose things about them that they don't want to see. They don't want God to tell them that they are in the wrong. So we play it safe in prayer. But when we have the courage to ask God to uncover our sins, he will begin to show us things about ourselves that our flesh does not want us to see. When you have the courage to ask God to lead you in the way everlasting, let me tell you something. He may take you some places that your flesh may not like. I had a very wise man tell me one time, Sister Wanda, he said, your walk with God is going to take you through some very lonely places. Nobody wants to be lonely. Nobody wants to get down in the valley, but sometimes we got to get in the valley, Brother Jediah, for God to teach us the lessons that he wants to teach us. But when you get sincere enough with God to to become vulnerable. When pleasing him means more than anything to you in your life, it don't matter how many valleys you got to go through to make it to heaven. You're going to go through every single valley and you're going to keep on trusting in God. It don't matter how many times you get offended, you get your feelings hurt, you have things happen to you. You're going to keep on serving God because you know making it to heaven's the only thing that matters. We got to stop playing it safe in prayer. We got to have the courage like David did to ask God to search us. Search me, oh God. Man, what a wonderful example he said to us. He was the offended, not the offender. He was the innocent and not the guilty. He was the one being pursued. He was the one trying to get killed and not the pursuer. And here he finds himself saying, search me, O God. Expose me. Know my thoughts. See if there's any wickedness in me. Lord, let me know what it is so I can be right before you. Can I tell you, if you really love God, if you really want to please God, you are going to search for the things that are in your life that's keeping you from him. If you really love him, if you really love him, when you have the courage to ask God to lead you in the way everlasting, he's going to take you some places that your flesh may not want to go. I've had my walk with God take me through many different places. I have felt abandoned. I have felt discarded. I have felt that people have turned my back on me. I have felt exalted. The greatest thing I can tell you about pastoring, it's like a emotional roller coaster. It really is. And there are times when you feel so weak, and there are times you feel so strong, and there are times you feel supported, and there's times you feel cast down, and you feel all of these different emotions. But David taught me to understand that it doesn't matter where I find myself in my life, God is still the same God that he was yesterday, today, and forevermore. It didn't matter that Saul was pursuing him. He still wanted his heart to be right with God. He understood that even in our best moments, we have deceit in us. We have deceit in our hearts. Our heart is deceitful. Who can know it? We got to be willing to get vulnerable before God. We got to be willing to pray dangerous prayers. Are you willing tonight to pray like David prayed and say, God, search me. Know me. I can't hide anything from you anyway. Lord, show me, expose me. Is there any wickedness in me at all? I want to know. I want you to deal with it. I want you to cleanse me from it. And lead me in the way everlasting. As the musicians come quickly, when you stand with me, if you would, tonight. When you really get the courage to pray dangerously. Listen, I really hope, and I really pray this month that there are some people in this church that are tired of where you're at spiritually. I really hope and I pray that you're tired of living up one minute and down the next. I really hope that you understand that God planned for you, God made provision for you to live in a constant state of revival. And I really hope that you learn this month and you begin to understand that when you begin to take seriously the spiritual discipline of prayer, it's going to change your life in Christ. It's going to change your life in Christ. When you pray dangerously, when you ask God to search you, to know your thoughts, to find any wickedness that's in you, to lead you to everlasting life, you are acknowledging that you do not have all the answers. You are acknowledging that you do not know it all. You are acknowledging that you cannot make it without him. You are acknowledging that you truly do need him and that you do want him. It's not about what I want anymore. It's about the kingdom of God. It's not about what pleases me anymore. It's about the kingdom of God. Come on, I even in my best moments, my righteousness is still as filthy rags. Come on, even in my best moments, even when I preach my best sermon, even when I pray somebody through to the Holy Ghost, I'm still broken before the Lord. I'm still wretched. I'm still lost and undone without him. I need him to search me. I need him to create in me a clean heart and renew in me over and over and over again a right spirit. Because along the way, things latch on to us. Things come into our lives. We don't even recognize how they got there. We don't even recognize how it happened. Bitterness, jealousy, all these things, envy and strife, all of these things, they begin to sneak into our life. And David had the courage to say, God, search me. Search me. Know me. Know my thoughts. Let me bring every single one of them to you. Let me know, God, if there's any wickedness in me. Would you really pray that kind of prayer tonight? Are you that serious about your walk with God that you would say, Lord, if there is 1 ounce of wickedness in me, I want you to show it to me, because I need to lay it down at an altar of prayer. I need to give it to you, God. I need you to wash me and cleanse me with the washing of your word. I need you to expose me for who I am today. Search me, oh God. Search me. Know me. Try me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. Lead me. That's why David was considered a man after God's own heart, because he was willing to pray dangerously, and he was willing to say, search me. He was willing to say, know me. He was giving God access to every part of his life. You can't hold nothing back from him tonight. You can't hold nothing back from him tonight. If you really want to be close to him, it's all or none tonight. Come on in. You got to be hot or cold tonight. The Bible says if you're lukewarm, he's going to spew you out of his mouth. God wants to be close to you tonight. God wants you to understand the importance of praying vulnerably in his presence. God wants you to open your heart in ways that you have never opened up before. God wants you to tell him tonight, Lord, search my life. Know me. Know my thoughts. Know my heart. Know my intentions. Know my motives. Know everything about me, because you are all that matters to me. If you will pray this way, my friend, I come to tell you tonight, you're going to have the same results that David had. If you're willing to expose yourself, if you're willing to say, Lord, don't hold back anything from me. Come on, Lord, just show me exactly who I am so I can be better in your presence tonight. As we sing this closing song, I'd like for you to find a place to pray, whether it's up here, whether it's at your seat, whether it's standing right where you're at, and lift your hands towards heaven tonight. I want you to find a place to pray. And I want you to be willing to have the courage tonight to understand some people in this church are in a great place. Some people in this church are in a low place. Some people are in a time of abundance. Some people are doing without. Come on, some people are strong spiritually. Some people are weak spiritually. But wherever you find yourself, will you have the courage to say, God, search me. Search me and know me. Lead me in the way everlasting. These altars are open tonight.